Well, good evening. This evening we'll be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians 5. So if you would like to turn there, it's on page 1228 of the Pew Bibles. Tonight we'll be looking at these verses, verses 1 through 10, particularly as these verses help us to understand death and the believer's hope at death. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. Before we read these verses, let us again look to the Lord in prayer. We praise you, Lord, this evening that you have given us your word. And Lord, we need your word. And tonight, as we come to the end of your Lord's day, as we are beginning to think again of our responsibilities and our callings throughout the week, we pray that you would indeed meet us and speak to us through your word, restore our hearts, give us strength, give us encouragement and help as we come to your word. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened. Not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. You've probably heard the quote before. I think it was Benjamin Franklin that first said this, that there are only two certain things in this world, death and taxes. And leaving the taxes aside for the moment, isn't it true that death is something that everyone faces? It doesn't matter whether you are rich or poor. It doesn't matter whether you are young or old, famous or unknown, loved or hated. Everyone, if the Lord tarries, everyone at one time or another faces death. And because everyone has to face death, it seems that most everyone has something to say about death. What do people say around the office or around your workplace? They often say about someone who has died, I'm sure they're in a better place. I'm sure they're in a better place. That people say this without any basis, without any kind of statement about this person's relationship to the Lord. But people have this general vague sense that death takes people to a better place. Or some people just embrace death as a part of life. Haruki Murakami, a best-selling Japanese writer, says this: death is not the opposite of life, but a part of it. Or someone perhaps a little more familiar to you, J.K. Rowling, says this: to the well-organized mind, death is but the next great adventure. Or maybe like the a little bit like the circle of life in The Lion King, people try to cope with death by imagining that death contributes somehow to the greater good. Steve Jobs took this approach. He said, no one has ever escaped death, and that is how it should be, because death is very likely the single best invention of life. It is life's change agent. It clears out the old to make way for the new. Well, with all of this confusion, with all of these different voices, it's important that as believers that we don't let the culture define how we think about death, but that we look to God's word to understand death. And God hasn't given us everything that we might like to know about death in his word, but he has given us what we need to know. And what he has given us is enough so that through the Lord Jesus Christ, we can face death, not with fear or ignorance, but with confidence and hope. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is one of the clearest passages in the Bible that speaks about what happens to believers at death. And it provides for us some different kinds of information about death. It helps us to understand a basic definition of death. It helps us to understand why it is that death is painful and sad. And it helps us to cope with death by giving us a vision of the blessings that will come to us through our death if we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so first of all, this evening, let's start with the basics. What is death? And as we look at the teaching of the scripture, and as we look at 2 Corinthians 5 in particular, we see that death is a separation of body and soul. Death is a separation of body and soul. When we begin to read these verses in chapter 5, we have to understand that Paul is using a metaphor here. He's comparing his life to living in a tent. And so in this metaphor, this tent that he speaks of is his body, and him living in the tent is his soul. And this metaphor really affirms what the Bible teaches elsewhere, that people are made up of two parts, body and soul. Just a few verses above chapter 5, we see Paul also giving this distinction here. In verse 16, he speaks about the outer man being wasting away and the inner man being renewed day by day. And so we see that Paul sees a humans made up of body and soul. In chapter 4, he's using this dichotomy to speak about suffering, to help explain suffering. And in chapter 5, he's using this dichotomy to explain death. In verse 1, then, when Paul speaks of his tent being destroyed, he's really speaking about death. He's speaking about how at death, his body will be separated from his soul. And that's really the definition of death. As long as a person's body and soul are separated, that person is dead under the power of death. Now, right off the bat, this definition really helps us to combat some wrong views about death. A lot of people will think that death is simply ceasing to exist, going out of existence. This is especially common with those who think that our bodies are all that we are, that we are simply biological machines. And very often our culture today will say that death is just a cessation of existence. But that's not true. Paul here is rejecting this belief. Instead of considering his body as the only part of himself, he speaks of it as a tent that can be destroyed and replaced. Another common view about death, maybe more common among Christians, is the idea of soul sleep. Some believe that at death your soul continues on, but continues on in a state of unconsciousness, in a kind of sleeping. And it looks a little bit, some places in Scripture, it looks a little bit like these, Scripture teaches this. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 14, refer to death as sleep. But this is not what Paul is saying here. He anticipates a continued conscious existence after death. Verse 8, especially, he says that when he is away from the body, he will be with the Lord. And this is really the clear testimony of the rest of Scripture. And if you think about the thief on the cross in Luke chapter 24, what does Jesus say to this man? He says, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus sees the continued conscious existence of him and this man beside him. And think about the parable of the rich man and Lazarus in Luke chapter 16. Both the rich man and Lazarus are both conscious in that story. And so when the Bible speaks of death as sleep, we need to understand that it's referring to death as sleep in with respect to our bodies looking like they are asleep when we die. And pointing to the fact that at the resurrection, it will be as if our bodies come back to wake up. As they come back to life, it will look as though that they are waking up. But truly, death, at death, our souls continue to stay conscious. Well, this basic definition of death, it helps us. It helps us as we think about death. Whatever the experience of death is like for us, we know that we will not cease to exist. We will not lose consciousness, but our body and our soul will be separated. Along with this definition of death, the Bible also teaches that why death is frightening and painful. And so, secondly, if you are to face death with confidence and hope, you must acknowledge that death is an enemy. Death is an enemy. God created us body and soul. And he created us body and soul to be together, to live as a unified whole. We were created initially to live forever. And it was really the sin of Adam and Eve that brought death into the world. Romans 5, verse 12, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. And so death is not a natural thing. Death is not a good thing. Death is an enemy. 1 Corinthians 15, 26 uses exactly this term. It speaks of death as our last enemy. And Paul, as he is speaking of death in 2 Corinthians 5, he speaks of how this is unnatural, that this is wrong. By using this metaphor of the tent in verses 2 and 3, he says, "For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on, we may not be found naked." What Paul is saying is that he is living with a sinful, cursed body, and that is hard. He groans in that body. But what he is longing for is not ultimately to be separated from his body, to be naked, to be unclothed, but instead to have a new body, to have a resurrection body. You see, death is unnatural. Death is not something that you should want. You are not meant to be separated from your body. You are meant to be body and soul united. And this is really important for us to understand when we think about death. Now, because death is your enemy, you need to know that it is right for you to hate death. And so when people who you love die, you don't have to pretend that it's okay. You're not exhibiting a weak faith or failing to be spiritual by grieving the death of those you love. You know, Scripture is full of examples of those who grieved at death. Do you remember what David did when he learned of Saul and Jonathan's death? He and his men fasted and wept for a whole day. And remember Jesus at the tomb of Lazarus, knowing that he would bring Lazarus back to life, weeping and mourning at the death of his friend. Furthermore, because death is your enemy, it's okay to grieve about your own upcoming death. It's not unbelief to look at death, your own death, with sadness and grief. We read earlier in the service from King Hezekiah. And those words that he wrote, at the end, of course, he's celebrating God's deliverance from death. But at the beginning, what is he really saying? He's mourning and grieving his expected death, his anticipated death. Death is an enemy. And of course, death brings some benefits with it. And we're going to look at those benefits next. But there's no reason to pretend that death is just a natural part of life, something to be freely embraced. It is right. It is good for you to grieve and sorrow at death. The Bible says more about death than just that death is a separation of body and soul and that death is an enemy. And so thirdly, the third thing we must know about death is that death is a means of blessing for believers. Death is a means of blessing for believers. Now, as we consider this idea, we really need to stop at the forefront here and consider the very important last two words in that phrase, the for believers. Because if you are not a believer, if you have not trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are not right with God, or you have not rested in the righteousness of Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, then you will not get blessing at death. There is no hope for you in death. You may find hope. You may find hope in this life, in this world now. But death for you will not be full of hope, but will be the horror of facing the wrath of a holy and just God in your own sins. And so if that is how you find yourself this evening, the call for you now, before your death, is to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and embrace the gospel. Embrace the righteousness of, not your righteousness, but the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ for you. Confess your sins and trust in Him, so that death, which now is a horror for you, will become a place of blessing and hope. And so, bearing that in mind, then, how is death a means of blessing for believers? Well, as we look at back to 2 Corinthians 5, really the overall tone of this passage is a tone of blessing, isn't it? Paul is not afraid of death here, but he looks forward to the blessings that death brings. And let's consider here three different blessings that death brings to believers. First of all, at your death, if you are a believer, your physical suffering will cease. Your physical suffering will cease. And Paul speaks of this benefit in verse 4. He says, while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened. Not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed so that what is mortal may be swallowed up in life. Paul recognizes that in his body, in his sinful, cursed body, life is hard. And he is suffering. He is groaning at this time. And so in verse 8, he looks forward to the time where he would be away from the body and at home with the Lord. And this is a blessing of death. While being separated from our bodies is unnatural, it's not a normal thing. While death is an enemy, death, for believers, does bring an end to physical suffering. And for this, we can be glad. It's right for us to be glad for this end of physical sufferings. We could even say that one of the reasons why our bodies begin to fail towards the end of our lives is to get us ready for death. As the weakness and the pain of our present body becomes more and more acute, as we begin to long more and more for relief from suffering in the body, not so that we could ultimately be dead, but so that we can be with the Lord. And so that we ultimately will be clothed with our resurrection bodies. And so death will deliver you from physical suffering. But even better than that, at death, if you are a believer, your soul will become perfectly holy. Your soul will become perfectly holy. Now this truth isn't exactly present in 2 Corinthians 5. You know, Paul's emphasis on his death here is that he will be present with the Lord. But what does John chapter 3, verse 2 say? When we see him, we will be like him, because we will see him face to face. You see, God isn't going to let your soul into his special presence in heaven without first purifying it completely. And so Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23 says that it's the spirits of just men made perfect that are surrounding the throne of God. Isn't this wonderful? Isn't it wonderful to think of your soul purified? Think of all the ways that sin causes you trouble. Think about ways that you've wrecked relationships. You've inflicted pain on other people. You've brought shame to yourself. You've lived enslaved to things. And at death, all of these things will be gone. No longer will you have any selfish thoughts. No longer will you have any perverted desires. No longer will you have any unrighteous anger. No longer will you give in to sin or feel any shame for doing evil. But you will have perfect love, perfect joy, perfect peace. You will have perfect appreciation and care and concern for those around you. And you will have an unbounded love for God. But this perfect holiness, as incredible as it is not all. And even more than this benefit, at your death, if you are a believer, thirdly, your soul will be with Jesus. Your soul will be with Jesus. Now, this is the blessing that Paul is really looking forward to here. This is what makes him, above anything else, this is what makes him want to leave his body. In verse 8, he says, yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. And this has to excite you, doesn't it? Doesn't this excite you that those of you who are believing in Jesus this evening, while you are with him now, that he is with you now by his Spirit, Don't you so often forget his presence? Don't you so often forget that you are seated with him in heaven and get distracted and you turn away and lose a sight of a sense of his glory? But at death, your soul will be in heaven. It will be with the Lord Jesus in his special presence. And you will behold his face. And you will behold his glory. And you will know and comprehend his love. And all of your doubts. And all of your concerns. And all of your fears. And all of your shame will flee away. This is the blessing that comes to you at death. Death is a certain reality for all of us. And death is dark and frightening. But as we face our own death, and as we face the death of others, God has not left us ignorant of what to expect by death. By his word, he has described for us what death is and what death will bring. And I want to leave you this evening thinking of the image of Stephen. Stephen in Acts chapter 7, about ready to die. The stones flying and hitting him, his body dying. Stephen, he knew he was going to die. And as he looked up into the heavens, God opens the curtains of heaven and let him see the glory of heaven. And he looked there and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the throne of God. And despite Stephen's grief and pain, he cried out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Brothers and sisters, you haven't seen a vision of Jesus like this. But through God's word, your hope at death is just as sure as Stephen's was. Know that Jesus, he is at the right hand of God now. And just as surely as he received Stephen's spirit, so he will receive your spirit if you are trusting in him. So you do not have to face death with fear. You do not have to face death with doubt. But you can face death with confidence and hope. Let's pray. Oh Lord, death is scary and frightening and sorrowful and sad. And it rips out our hearts and it causes us to fear and it gives us great burdens and sorrows. But Lord, we praise you for the gospel of Jesus Christ, how you have taken the sting out of death, that through the gospel we can look forward to death not only as an unnatural thing, as a consequence of sin, but we can look forward to death as entry into a perfect experience of your presence. And so, Lord, give us the faith to look forward to our death with confidence and hope. Lord, would you help any here who are not right with you, who are not ready to die, to be reconciled to you now in the gospel, that we might all experience the grace and the glory of your presence with you forever. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.